Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a presentation of Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over seven decades, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called Life Study. This Life Study is the basis for our program today and includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's program. Most serious readers of the Bible recognize that there are some unmistakable portraits of Christ in the Old Testament. Among these, of course, are the Passover lamb and the brass serpent. But if our understanding has been enlightened, as the Apostle Paul prayed, we can see not only Christ, but God's eternal purpose and plan in picture form throughout the Old Testament. The key to this understanding is what Paul called the economy of God. God's economy is His plan, His purpose, and all that He has arranged to work these out. This life study of the Bible has the economy of God as its focus, and the result is that book after book, including the obscure and seldom spoken of books such as Numbers in the Old Testament, all become a rich treasury of light and truth, revealing and unveiling Christ and God's purpose in marvelous detail. Ron Kangas has joined us for this life study today. And Ron, not only the book of Numbers, but really three books cover the children of Israel in the wilderness, Numbers, Exodus, and Leviticus. This sketch, Ron, will focus on seeing these books in view of or in light of this perspective that we've mentioned already, God's economy. It's a New Testament term that's found in several places, but notably in Ephesians. One reference, chapter 3, verse 9. And this says, "And to enlighten all that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things."
We see from the verse you just cited from Ephesians that with the Apostle Paul, God's economy was the perspective from which he viewed the entire Old Testament. For instance, in 2 Corinthians, he says, "The God who said, 'Out of darkness light shall shine,' has shined in our hearts." Here Paul is relating Genesis to the gospel of the glory of Christ shining into us to bring the image of God, Christ Himself, into our spirit. Therefore, for us to follow Paul and having this point of view, this perspective, is actually for us to be intrinsically faithful to the New Testament revelation. So, from the point of view of God's economy, His plan and arrangement to dispense Himself into us, to produce the church, the body of Christ, as His corporate expression, we read Exodus. It's a book of pictures. Exodus doesn't end with the Passover. It ends with the tabernacle filled with the glory of God. That tabernacle is a type both of the personal Christ and the corporate Christ, the church, according to 1 Corinthians 12:12. In Luke 24, we read that the Lord opened the minds of the apostles that they might understand the scriptures. And He spoke to them the things in the scriptures, especially Moses and the prophets concerning Himself. So in Leviticus, again, we have numerous types of Christ as the reality of all the offerings, as the high priest, as item after item. Then in Numbers, we have God's people formed into an army of serving ones who are bearing the ark as the testimony as they are following the Lord's leading into the good land for the fulfillment of God's purpose. So we unashamedly and forthrightly testify that our perspective, learned from Paul himself in reading the Old Testament, is God's New Testament economy concerning Christ and the church.
We have today's message and tomorrow's to conclude this life study. It has been a real, I think the word treasure that we used earlier is fitting. We found this book to become an unexpected treasure. And we have, I think, a treasure in our message today and also tomorrow. Why don't we get to Witness Lee as he gives us this vital sketch of these three critical books.
I feel burdened to give you a vital sketch. A vital sketch of the divine revelation in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Concerning what? Concerning God's economy. Of course, you don't have this word economy in the Old Testament, but you do have it in the New Testament. Especially in Paul's writings, Paul stressed this word strongly. What is unveiled in all the typologies in these three books, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, is God's economy. And the word God's economy means just God's administration with a plan, with a purpose, having certain amount of arrangement to accomplish this plan and to reach this purpose for the fulfillment of God's heart desire. And this heart desire of God is just to get a people created by Him, regenerated by Him, and sanctified unto Him, and transformed into His kind of nature. Eventually, these people will be conformed to the image of the very embodiment of the process triune God. Lastly, all of them will be brought into glory, which is the triune God Himself. You know, God brought children of Israel out of Egypt with a purpose to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was the first mountain that was called the Mountain of God. It was there God gave His people a full revelation to make Him a dwelling place on this earth. Then they did it. Then God got the dwelling place on this earth. So God's glory, which was in the heavens, came down, descended upon that tabernacle. Amen. Indicating that was where God's glory dwells. It's quite meaningful. This is a very good sketch.
I'll borrow his word. I think this was a marvelous sketch of God's economy as we were referring to it before. He touched several things here from regeneration, sanctification, transformation, and the building of a dwelling place, and then culminating with God's glory filling the house. What about this kind of thumbnail view of God's economy?
It's there portrayed very clearly in Exodus. Compare chapter 1 with chapter 40. In chapter 1, the people of Israel are slaves of Pharaoh, laboring to build treasure cities for Pharaoh, no meaning to their existence. Then, progressively, we see God's redemption, His salvation, His provision. At Mount Sinai, there's the unveiling of God's purpose when He brought Moses into glory and then instructed him, let the people make me a dwelling place, so that I may dwell among them. And that's what happened in the remaining chapters. The tabernacle and everything related to it was built according to the pattern shown on the mountain to Moses, and the glory of God filled it. This is a picture of God's economy. Just contrast this, or compare it, with one chapter in the New Testament, Ephesians 2. At the beginning, we were all dead in trespasses and sins, but the Lord saved us, He enlivened us, He brought us to Himself, He presented Christ to us. Then the chapter ends with God's dwelling place. This is the necessary view we should have of the pictures in the Old Testament. We're not reading into something that's not there. The pictures have been there for centuries. Now, with the clear and explicit New Testament revelation, we have the explanation of the pictures. We put the pictures together with the explanation. We have a clear and vital view of God's economy.
You mentioned God's goal as revealed on the mountain there in the wilderness, Mount Sinai. What's most often overlooked is this matter of the tabernacle. Everyone knows the story of the Ten Commandments and the tablets in stone, which was also part of what God revealed to Moses. But we typically overlook, or this matter of the tabernacle is greatly overlooked when we look at this part of the history of the children of Israel. But the two really go together. I think we'll see that in this coming portion, that the giving of the law is very much related to what followed this blueprint for the tabernacle. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
What this portion of the word shows us? Well, just shows us God needs a people, chosen, redeemed, ready to receive His revelation, to build a dwelling place on the earth for Him to dwell among the human race. Before the children of Israel receive the revelation concerning God's building, God gave them a portrait of Himself to show them what kind of God He is. He is the God of love, and He is the God of light, and He is the God so holy, and He is the God so righteous. So, love, light, holiness, and righteousness, these are four crucial words describing the characteristics of this divine person. Well, in New Testament, you have the definitions like this, but you don't have just a portrait. I must tell you, even the law, the Ten Commandments, actually, this is just a portrait of God. This was a photo taken by the old Moses. 3,500 years ago. By that time, there was a photographer. That was Moses. And he exercised the best photography. And he put this photography in his writings. Now we can see, oh, this is God. God is love. God is light. God is holy. God is righteous. Hallelujah. This is God.
A lot of words spoken, a lot of books written on this matter of the law, but how many have seen it in this view, that it's a portrait, a photograph of our God?
According to my study over decades, very few. Even though that is what we have in Paul's ministry. In 1 Corinthians, when he is addressing certain problems in the church, he refers to the history of Israel, especially in the wilderness, and then he says explicitly, these are types of us. There it is. It's because of the shortage of the New Testament central thought and emphasis that so many dear believers don't see the full picture in Exodus or in any other Old Testament book. I say again, just as the Lord in Luke 24 not only opened the scriptures, but he opened the minds of the disciples to understand the scriptures, and then spoke to them the things in the Old Testament concerning himself. We need that kind of dual opening of the Word through the proper ministry and of our mind through the Lord's direct ministry to us, that at last the light can flood our heart and we can have Paul's view of the Old Testament, a view governed by God's New Testament economy, to have Christ make his home in us, to dwell in us, to live in us, and be expressed in us, with the goal of having the church, the body of Christ, as his corporate expression, his bride, ultimately consummating in his wife, the new Jerusalem.
Well, the law was given, as we've just seen and talked about, as a testimony. As we mentioned, the law and the tabernacle are related, and this is the common element, the matter of testimony. This testimony, now originally contained in the Ten Commandments, is soon to be enlarged. The tabernacle is called the Tabernacle of Testimony, but it incorporates his people into his dwelling place. And it's enlarged further in the New Testament. Of course, we know the church is a type, and ultimately the consummation of the whole Bible, the New Jerusalem. The tabernacle remains from this point throughout God's plan and God's economy. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Look at the tabernacle. The entire entity of the tabernacle, from within to without, is considered a testimony of God. What? What is testimony? A portrait. The entire tabernacle was a portrait of God. Not just the Ten Commandments on the two tablets, but the entire tabernacle standing there declare a photo of the triune God. Amen. This is the triune God, who is, or which is, his dwelling place. And the dwelling place and the dweller are just one. The dweller is the dwelling place. And this dwelling place has no windows, but it has surely an entrance. So this dwelling place is enterable. For whom to enter? For God's chosen people. It's quite meaningful. In the whole Bible, the first time God's testimony was a tabernacle. Then this tabernacle will go through the Old Testament, and will go through the New Testament. In the New Testament, the term is the church, or the body of Christ. Then you will consummate in eternity in the New Jerusalem. And that New Jerusalem is also called what?
Tabernacle.
In the Old Testament, tabernacle was the children of Israel. And in the New Testament, the tabernacle is Christ. The Word became flesh, and tabernacled. Right? So Christ was tabernacle, and the tabernacle as Christ, when it is large, it is the church. Amen. So the church today is also tabernacle. Then eventually in the Bible, these tabernacles will consummate in the ultimate tabernacle. The main thing for the tabernacle, the striking thing, is the entry. The entry. The entry is available. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Oh God, the triune God is enterable.
Amen.
That's a marvelous point to end on, that this tabernacle enlarged, even eventually to the New Jerusalem, a striking characteristic as a testimony of God is that it has an entrance. Wonderful, isn't it?
It is wonderful. And this, what you just heard, is a faithful presentation of the revelation in the scriptures. Let's look at Exodus again briefly. The law is called the testimony because it is the definition and expression of God, a portrait of God. The testimony, the tablets of the law, was placed in the ark, which is a type of Christ as the God-man, gold signifying divinity, acacia wood, humanity. So now we have the ark of the testimony. This ark of the testimony is placed in the tabernacle, and then the tabernacle is called the tabernacle of the testimony. So the law, the ark, the tabernacle, they are all portraying Christ and expressing Christ. John was very clear about this. So he said the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. So now we have Christ as the reality of the tabernacle. Through his death and resurrection, this tabernacle, this dwelling place, also known as the temple, was enlarged to become the church as his corporate expression, consummating in the New Jerusalem a corporate person designated as the tabernacle of God. There it is, in the new heaven and the new earth. You have the holy city, a corporate person, shining with the glory of God, expressing God through the whole universe. This, we say again, is a picture, and this is the reality, and even this will be the consummation of the economy of God. Now, with the tabernacle in the Old Testament, there clearly was an entrance, and actually in two steps, that there was an entrance into the holy place where the serving ones would enjoy the bread and the light and offer prayer. Then there was a second entrance into the Holy of Holies to be directly in the glory of God. This is a portrait of God and Christ becoming enterable. So when God became man in Christ Jesus, the Lord was the tabernacle, indicating he was not only the expression of God, but he was a God who would be enterable. Through his death and resurrection, as revealed in John 14, the way is open, and the way is Christ himself, for us to enter not heaven, but to enter into God himself in Christ, and for God in Christ to enter into us, to become a mutual dwelling place. So this consummates in the New Jerusalem, in which, as the tabernacle and as the temple, we have a mutual dwelling place for God and his redeemed people. On the one hand, through Christ as the way, based on his redemption, God, the tabernacle, has become enterable. And even as we're speaking this, we have the sense that we are in this enterable God. Also, in God's economy, Christ has gone through a process to actually be able to enter into us. So now we have not only the picture of God being enterable, we have the New Testament reality of God being enterable. This is clearly revealed in John 14. This is clearly revealed in Paul's ministry, and it is consummately revealed in Revelation 21 and 22. Praise the Lord that he has become the enterable God.
I encourage you to contact us to find out how you can receive this two-volume set of the Life Study of Numbers. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Or you can write to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. Join us again tomorrow for our wrap-up, our conclusion to the Life Study of Numbers. I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today. Lord, we give our- You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee ministered the Word of God for over 7 decades. Many consider these life studies as his seminal work, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Spirit. If you'd like to find more about Witness Lee, these life study messages, or any of the materials provided by Living Stream Ministry, please visit our website, lsm.org. That's lsm.org. You can also email us, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFESTUDY. Thanks for listening today.